Hi, everyone. Julie here again. I'm excited to be back and chatting. I had a couple of write-in questions after our show last time on April 1st that I wanted to go over today. And then we also have just kind of the overall topic of, like Chris was talking about, the isolation, the impacts on us, and then ways we can kind of move around that feeling of being isolated.
And, you know, right now it almost feels like we are being encouraged to be isolated, like, you know, because we need that term. We hear that term, social distancing, which I told you last time that I'm actually trying to put it in my mind that it's physical distancing and it's not social distancing. And it has been really healthy for me to think of it that way, because when I was still thinking of it as social distancing, I was even afraid of saying hello to people as I walked by on the street. You know, I really felt like I had to isolate myself from everybody. Like I had to just distance myself from everybody, and even saying hello, even just, you know, as we were passing by people on the street, felt like it's going to put me in danger. But when I started shifting in my mind to this idea of physical distancing, I realized that actually, it's okay to say hello and you know, to have those little interactions that still acknowledge the other person, that maybe they need it just as much as I do. But we're doing it in a way that it's safe, you know, where we're each very far apart from each other. And it's just like a little wave with a hand, or, you know, and actually good morning or something like that. So it's really helped me redirect my efforts and think of this in a very different way that social distancing idea at first did it. Because I really felt when I heard social distancing, the first thing that came to my mind was like, okay, it's just me and my family and it's just, you know, my core and that's it. Almost like against the rest of the world. And I don't know if you felt that same way, Julie, or if that, you know, resonates with you in some way.
Yeah. So I'm really glad to hear you went through that whole process. I love when people kind of intuitively grasp what we're kind of trying to share messaging wise. So it is 100% physical distancing. You should not be isolating socially. Physically, yes, but not socially. And so I think a large part of why this pandemic is so scary or so difficult for people is that there is a lot of confusion around, you know, am I supposed to talk to my neighbor, or are we not supposed to look at each other, or, you know, oh my gosh, that person's too close to me, I'm going to get sick, or they have a mask on, they must be sick, or, you know, whatever is going through your mind. It's really difficult to have that innate paranoia and distrust of other people, since we are so very social as humans in general. Whether or not you're introverted or extroverted, you still need people, you still need connection, just on different levels and different ways. So it's been really difficult, I would agree. And especially because it takes two to tango, right? So even if I'm open for conversation and I'm ready to talk to random people in the parking lot or my neighbors or whatever the situation is, the other people are scared of me because they're worried about their family. They're worried about their own health. And I don't blame them at all. But it's difficult. Can't really have a conversation one way that'll be well received, I should say. Absolutely.
No, absolutely. And it's really interesting because you do see it. And, you know, as I'm walking, I encounter very few people. You know, before I would encounter like full families and almost like at every step, right? Whereas now I walk for 5 minutes and I might see one person. I walk for another 10 minutes and then I see another person. And every person, as you were saying, reacts differently. You know, like some people will, as soon as they see me, start kind of like looping around and just go as far as they can for me. And I do, I do open up and I do give distance, right? But there's other people who just won't move. And I mean, I'm still going through the part where that makes me uncomfortable, right? And I'm reminding my kids, I'm like, guys, like, move to the side. But it's awkward because you don't want the other person to feel that, you know, you're judging them or anything like that. But at the same time, so it puts you in a really weird position, because like, I really don't want this person to take it personal, but at the same time, I'm trying to keep my family safe. And so it's like, oh, what do I do? You know, how do I tackle that without being offending somebody else, but at the same time, keeping me and my family safe in the way that I understand safe is, because it's the other thing, as you were saying, is our interpretations, right? And that's, I think, probably the hardest part, is that we're really looking at each other's interpretations and how we are really putting them in place. And that's what I'm seeing when I walk, you know, that when people take their distance, is like, okay, they're interpreting this as serious physical distance. And then when I see people who are not moving, I'm like, maybe they think that it's just not talking and not, you know, having interaction with the other person, it's enough, but they are not really paying, you know, maybe paying attention to that physical distance itself.
Yeah. So I think people are reacting, like we said, in a couple of different ways. So one, they are becoming hypervigilant or really paranoid. And I want to be really clear, all of these responses are okay. It is okay to feel these ways. So we have hypervigilance and like kind of paranoia or distrust of other people, totally valid. We have the I'm invincible, it's going to happen to other people, kind of come at me, right? Come at me, COVID-19, I'm fine. It's not going to happen to me because I wash my hands, or whatever they think they're doing. Then we have the people that are maybe highly apologetic and deferential to others. So that this cracked me up. I was at Costco like in the last week trying to find the essentials and failing, but that's a different story for a different day. And I was sitting there and I was going this way and the other person was going the other way. So perpendicular. And we were both just staring at each other 6 feet away, kind of like, well, are you going to go? Are you going to go? And finally I was like, hi, are you trying to go this way or this way? Right. And they said, oh, I'm going this way. Thank you so much. But it was so funny because we were just kind of staring at each other without actually using our words. We were definitely in like hearing distance. Like, it wasn't like we were in our cars, right, trying to play this out. We were just pushing our carts, not using our words. And so I started cracking up and I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm tired and I don't know what happened, but are you trying to go this way or this way so I can let you go? And they laughed and were like, thank you, I'm going this way. And it was just this weird human connection moment that I had. And then I'm going to say, so we have the distrustful, we have the invincible, we have the deferential, and then we have the like overachievers, I would say. So I was laughing because right before we started, we had, you said, I'm zooming away or whatever. And I kind of laughed because I just talked to somebody else about this yesterday. They were like, I'm so desperate for people. I've got a call at 7, 8, 9, 10 on a Saturday night. And I was like, well, okay, like I'm extroverted. Don't get me wrong. I miss people a whole lot. I really value the connection, but I was like, 4 hours is a lot, man. Like that's a lot of connection. You're going to burn yourself out, which was actually one of the questions I got about this. It was, how do I connect and not burn myself out or overdo it? Because a lot of people are feeling like they have to do all the things. And that is a normal response to uncertainty and anxiety overall.
I love that you're going there because, you know, I think I've only seen it in Spanish, but it says, you know, if you don't come out of this quarantine having read a book, having learned a new, I guess the word that they use is task in Spanish, or I guess a new something, right? Like basically, if you haven't accomplished anything through this quarantine, then you will realize that you were never lacking the time, that you were lacking the discipline. And when I first said it, and when I first read it, I was like, you know, like it hit me and I was like, oh yes, absolutely. You know, this is the time to do it. And then I had to really step back and just kind of like take a deep breath and be like, you know what? No, actually, for some people, yes, this might be the opportunity and they might be able to just go at it and embrace it. For other people, I mean, if they can just get through this, you know, that's okay. Like that's really okay. There shouldn't be, I think that we should not be burning ourselves in the fact that, you know, if you want to take this time to really isolate and just to be by yourself, because usually you are always in meetings and always in this and always in that, I think that that's valid. I think that it's okay. So it's really interesting. I think that as, you know, we are grasping with it and coming to terms with it and adjusting to it, you're right. There's the group of people who said, well, this is your time to do everything that you've always wanted to do. And you said you didn't have the time to do it. But at the same time, we're emotionally not at the same place that we were when we had all the time to, you know, when we didn't have the time to do all those things that we wanted to do. So how do we support each other in these times, you know, and individually? How do we not judge, you know, how do we just be okay with however people are coping through this time? Yeah.
So I love that you brought that up. My cousin, hi, Michelle, if you're watching, actually posted that in English. And she said something like, I'm redoing my dining room. And she posted that. And I want to just preface this with, I really almost never argue with people on the internet. I would say 99.999% of the time, I never try to contradict other people because it just doesn't work. Because this was my cousin, I was like, no, I'm going to push back a little bit. So I said, that's great if you have the time and the energy, but for the rest of us, we're just trying to make it through the day. And so this is a really damaging statement to people for their mental health. So I extroverted, I tend to overdo. And so I had the same thought. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be at home and off the commute. Look at all that time that I've got. And I'm going to be so good about this. I'm going to bake bread. I'm going to make pretzels. Like I had all these activities set up. And then realistically, I sat there and I said, whoa, you're just trying to deal with the stress by filling all of your time and you will burn yourself out. And so I had to have a mini pep talk with myself. And I think everybody needs to have little pep talks with themselves on a regular basis, whatever that looks like to you. But, you know, and I still probably am doing a little too much, which is fine because I'm keeping an eye on it, right? And my friends also know me very well, and I have encouraged them to tell me when I'm doing too much. So I think part of this is that social connectedness, right? So telling your friends like, hey, this is the kind of pattern that I normally fall into. Can you just call me on it if you see me doing too much or not enough or being really distressful or whatever kind of pattern you fall into? So having a really strong support team around you. And then I do have check-ins and pep talks with myself. Again, I know that sounds really weird if you don't do it, but I promise the more you do it, the more natural it seems and the weirder everybody else seems for not doing it. So it's just important to check in on yourself. Otherwise, you're just floating along and that's stressful to me. Like, why would you not want to check in and be like, did I like how that went? Do I want to change anything? Do I feel good about that? Should I do it again? Should I never do it again? Whatever you're feeling, but we all need to have these kind of little check-ins and pep talks with ourselves.
Right. So, you know, at the beginning of the conversation, I said we were going to touch on isolation. And I really wanted to define isolation because I think that that's, you know, we get this idea, or at least what comes to my mind is this idea that you're in a little bubble and you're completely by yourself. Like, that's what isolation feels and looks like to me. But I'm finding that it's more complex than that. That is not, that's almost like the perfect scenario that defines isolation. But we can be isolated and still be surrounded by people. So I wanted to see if we can maybe define that for people so that people can understand it better and really, you know, understand what it looks like and what it can feel like.
Yeah. So I would say one definition, of course, is what you said, is that you're by yourself somewhere and you're not seeing other people. I would take it a step further and say that you are restricted from doing things that you want to do. So the shelter in place edict, right? So maybe you're still going to work, but you're not able to or you're discouraged from going to get pizza on Friday night like you normally do. So it's disrupting your normal routines and serving to separate you from things that you normally do or like to do, or people that you like to hang out with or normally talk to. So I just talked to one of my students actually yesterday, and she was telling me that she had just moved, really terrible timing all around, but she had just moved. And so she was in a new neighborhood, knew nobody. So she couldn't even smile and wave at her neighbors that she maybe knew. Her family is essential staff. So she's home all day by herself, you know, because she moved, she doesn't have the job, whatever. So she had all this stuff and she was like, I just feel really alone. And I said, well, you're not alone, to be clear. You're not alone. There are tons of people. You can always connect. You see me 3 days a week. I know that's not, you know, not everybody's like, woohoo, my professor, yay, right? But it is somebody, it's some connection. You can see your classmates, you can talk to your classmate. So you're not alone, you're just isolated, meaning that you are feeling the shelter in place, the cutoff of things that you like to do and activities. So one of my other friends posted that they just wanted some alone time. And normally they go to the grocery store for that, but they shouldn't because they're isolating. They're socially isolating, right? So they're trying to not go to the store five times a week. They're going once every 2 weeks or once every week or whatever works for your family. But I was really kind of struck by that statement because we all actually do need alone time to recharge. Extrovert, introvert, And I think a lot of us are overcompensating or panicking and zooming everywhere, like we said, or feeling like if I don't talk to this amount of people, everything's going to explode, or I'm going to go stir crazy, or whatever words you use for this. But a lot of people feel like if they desperately hold on to things, that they're in control, and kind of, but not really. That's one of those impacts that we kind of those different personality types we were talking about. So isolation is being told not to do what you want to do, not to go see who you want to go see, but you're never alone. To be very, very clear, you're never alone. You always have the opportunity to call, text, Zoom, WebEx, whatever you're using. You can use crisis lines. You can use telehealth. You're 100% not alone. It just might feel very lonely to not be able to go out and do what you want to do.
I love that clarification because, you know, especially when you said the supermarket, I mean, that really hit me when I heard you say that when my friend needs to be alone, he goes to the supermarket. It's like, whoa, that's a lot of people. But you're right. I mean, you're not necessarily interacting with anybody there. I mean, you can just kind of like be by yourself and looking through the shelves and enjoying the time with just yourself. So, and if now you can't do that, I can see how that can really create that feeling of isolation, just not, you know, not being able to do the things that you knew you needed to be and stay healthy and stay strong. So thanks for that clarification, Julie. I think it's important for all of us to, maybe that's a challenge and of the season that, you know, the things that we like to do and that kept us connected and that kept us with ourselves and with others have been disrupted. So that's the real challenge of this, to find new ways in which we're not burning ourselves, right? That are actually helpful to ourselves. So scheduling, like you were saying, the Zoom meetings or FaceTimes, but not overdoing it, you know, because we're craving it so much. And I did it too. Like, I mean, once HCC came back and said, okay, we're going back to work, you know, after the week of spring break, I mean, I immediately went into work mode. Like I was like, okay, we're doing this. And the first 2 weeks, I think I worked like 80 hours every week. Like it was a lot. Like I really just, you know, went into work mode. And it took a little bit for me to really step back. And I'm just getting to that point where I'm like, I'm working way more hours than I usually would. I'm doing a lot more than I usually would. Why? You know, what was really going on that triggered that for me? And it was just that uncertainty of not knowing. I honestly, at some point I thought, oh my gosh, are they, you know, because is the budget going to be affected? Or are they going to have to furlough us or let us go? Or like, there was a real fear in me when HEC took that step of sending us to on spring break, you know, just suddenly on that Monday. And I think my reaction was that relief of, oh my God, I get to keep my job. So now like, I'm really going to hang on to it as best as I can. And I just started working to the point where I wasn't even breathing in between, you know, I was just getting up and working, going to bed, working until the last minute, go to bed, get up again and work again, you know, and that's not a norm for me. So I definitely understand what you're saying. And I'm getting just to the point now where I finally was able to work out yesterday. It's, you know, for the first time, I think I worked out yesterday. And, you know, I was also checking in with my family, but daily. And that was also interrupting. So last night, so that I could work out, I actually sent a text and say, I'm not going to connect tonight because I am going to exercise tonight. But it took 4 weeks for me to have the courage to say, this is what I need to do today to take care of myself. So how's your process been? You know, because I think that people might be curious to see, you know, to find out, because you know, we are the faces, right? And we I think that the expectation is that we are strong and that we get it and that we are going through this and that we are just rising to the top with this. And I can honestly say that yes, there's been times where I felt like I got this and I am good and everything is well and fine. And there's been times where I'm like, oh my gosh, like when is this going to stop? So that roller coaster of feelings, right? And understanding it and being okay with it has been a big thing for me. How is it affecting you? You know, somebody who understands all of this, who works in the field, who's doing it. Are you going through the same things or you know, how is Julie doing, you know, with this quarantine process?
Yeah. So I want to be clear. Nobody's got this. Why? Because we've never done this before. Never. So none of us have a roadmap, really. What we're doing is we're taking best practices for times of high anxiety, after trauma events, normal self-care, and we're putting this information to use to try to help how everybody's doing. And we're creating the roadmap together by talking, by working through this, by checking in with ourselves, all these things that we've been talking about. It's really incredibly important that people understand that I am a human being. I certainly do not have everything figured out. Anybody that's on TV that's like, trust me, I know everything, do not trust them. They don't know everything. And it's really dangerous for people to think that experts or people in the field are like infallible or that they know everything. Very dangerous. I'm sharing what I've seen worked with other people, with myself, best practices for regular self-care, like I said, responding to like traumatic events and things like that. And all I have is information from other things. I don't know, maybe there's something really unique about COVID-19, which I would argue is that we don't have the roadmap, but we'll now have that information when we come out on the other side to be a little more prepared when things like this happen. My grandma, I was talking to her, and I know I mentioned her last radio show. She's one of my connection people. So my grandma was telling me about the scarlet fever quarantine when she was growing up. So that was very, very different. So if you had scarlet fever, you were quarantined. Everybody else went about their daily business. So you were just shut in and had a sign on your door that said like scarlet fever quarantine and like, don't touch me basically for whatever amount of days. I don't remember if she told me or what, but that was really different. So we are practicing the physical distancing to try not to overwhelm the hospitals and things. There's so many more people on planet Earth than there was when she was doing this scarlet fever thing, a couple more billion. And so it's just, it's really different for all of us. And I would say I have good days, I have bad days, I have good hours, I have bad hours. And I think the biggest piece for me is just acknowledging that it is anxiety, or that I am feeling isolated, or I am feeling lonely, or cooped up, or mad. I've been mad a couple of times. I've been experiencing grief. I mean, all of us are going through the roller coaster, and it's okay to have your feelings, and it's okay to be overwhelmed or underwhelmed or excited about your vacation or mad about your vacation, or whatever you're going through is totally fine. It's totally normal. And I would just say the biggest thing for me has been just recognizing those check-ins, recognizing, going, okay, you're feeling a little isolated right now, or you're feeling really anxious right now. And I may give myself permission to feel those things, or I might say, all right, that's enough. You've met your quota for today. Go do something else. And that's my best piece of advice. It sounds really simple. I know it's not. I know it takes a lot of effort and practice. And I still suck at it. Sometimes I'll say, okay, stop wallowing. Stop it, right? No, really stop it. And so sometimes I just need to be kind and wallow a little bit more, which is totally, totally acceptable. And I hope that everybody listening understands that. I don't have it figured out. I'm a human with feelings, and I sometimes just am a blanket burrito for a little while, and that's okay. And it's totally fine to be super productive, totally not productive, middle productive. Whatever you're doing is okay, because it's keeping you alive and healthy right now. It's a protective mechanism, whatever you're doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love that you're giving us permission to just be and to cope with this in whatever way that we are coping. Now, I know many people, especially when you're underproductive, we are feeling bad about that, right? What can you say to us? You know, because I've read it in so many Facebook posts, and I'm out of words, to be honest with you, because, you know, I see them and they're like, you know, I'm overeating, I'm not doing anything, I'm just sitting down and doing nothing. And I feel like I'm the worst person in the world. Like, I've seen so many different people post things that sound like that. And then you have the counterpart, right? And I think that that's what it is, that we're comparing to the counterparts who are like, oh, look, I did my kitchen and I did this and I did that. And it's like, you know, and these people are wondering, like, where are you getting all this energy from? Because I have no energy right now. So what can we say, you know, to those who are feeling bad about the way that they are coping with this reality?
Yeah. So I actually did an episode. I was trying to think of the title name and I can't off the top of my head, but we'll post it in the show notes for you so you can find it. But did a whole episode on the normal patterns of either you overdo or you underdo. And that may, you may do both depending on the situation. So one, just acknowledge this is a human process, that you will either over or underdo. There's rarely a middle road when you are feeling stressed. And so the middle road comes with a ton of practice and insight, and it takes years. And I certainly am not there yet either, because I will do, like I said, both. I'll over and underdo myself. And I know that, you know, some of my loved ones have a tendency to overdo, or some of them have a tendency to underdo, or some have the tendency to do both. And I think it's just a human process. So this is a natural response to uncertainty, to times of high anxiety and stress, is that you want to compensate. So you either go, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. I'm going to do all the things just in case that helps. And then you burn yourself out, and then you burn out. Like, you have a down period, and then you feel guilty about the down period. And then so you got to do all the things to compensate. And so it's just this vicious cycle. On the flip side, we have the underdoers, as we call them. And this is somebody that goes, you know, oh my gosh, I'm really overwhelmed with what's going on. I'm just going to not do anything because I don't want to make it worse. And then you start to feel bad about that. And then you're like, well, I already am not doing anything, so I'll just continue not doing anything. And so it's a different type of cycle. There's not the really high lows or highs there, but there is the kind of like kind of downward spiral that goes with doing the underdoing. So this is completely normal. It's a, I hate to call it this, it's a trauma response, but really it's an anxiety or stress response that we go one way or the other. And it might be you do both. You might recognize yourself in both those statements. I'm definitely an overdoer. And I also would say that I underdo sometimes as well. So the big thing is recognizing, what are you doing in this moment? Are you overdoing? Are you underdoing? Are you in that sweet spot of like doing what you need to do? I love to write stuff out when I feel like I'm overdoing, because I notice like, okay, I'm trying to paint my dining room, but really what I'm stressed about is making sure that I have emailed everyone that I needed to, whatever. And so it takes a second to go, okay, I think I need to do my dining room right now, but what am I also feeling, just in case there's something else going on? And then I take my handy dandy notebook and my pen, and I sit there and I write everything out. And then I look at it and I go, okay. And maybe I still do the dining room because I want to, and it's been on my list that I'm ready. And now that I've acknowledged the feelings, it's not as overwhelming to know why you're motivated to do behaviors. Gives you a lot of control and peace, I would say. So I still overdo, but I do it with the knowledge of what I'm doing. So when I moved into my office, when we started the work from home stuff, I had it, I don't know, 80% set up. And I was like, oh my gosh, I got to finish my whole office because people will know. What will they know? I have no idea what they were going to do. But this was just some sort of anxiety that I was having. And it was, I'm going to say, a 1 out of the scale of 100, and 95% of it was, pandemic. It's so scary. What's going to happen? And so instead I was like, I'm going to hang up artwork and I'm going to reorganize my shelves and I'm going to buy new lights for my office that have better like lighting on my face, because I was never intending to do a ton of video calls from my office. You know, I've got to set up the dog beds so that they hopefully will lay down and not dog bomb my video lectures or calls or anything. You know, I've got to get the cat a spot to sit. I mean, it was all this nonsense. And I remember checking in with myself and going, okay, absolutely, you can finish your office. But also, let's talk about what's going on here, Julie. Come on, get it together. It is that you're feeling really uncertain about things, that you're sad about not seeing your students again face to face, that you need to be a rock for people because they're coming to you and asking you for advice. And you're like, I don't know, like I'm over here redecorating my office. Don't ask me for advice, you know? And I guess my advice would be decorate your office if it makes you feel better, but you also don't have to decorate your office if you don't want to. And, you know, who knows, maybe I'll continue to shuffle stuff around on my shelves and you all can laugh at me as we do more video calls throughout and go, oh, look, I see Julie moved her art. You know, maybe that was an anxiety response. Maybe I just thought it looked better somewhere else. But we just need to have the permission to do whatever it takes to stay okay, to feel okay. And that's going to be very different for lots of people. So my one friend was talking about building a free little library. You know those? Have you seen those before? And so I was like, oh, that's such a great idea. And then I was kind of like sitting there and I was like, I don't know, are people going to touch the library and, you know, get COVID-19? Like, then I was in the overdrive of, all right, we got to provide like hand sanitizer and you've got to like sanitize the outside. And she's having a grand old time. So she picked up stuff. She's working on building it. And I think that's a great project to do. On the flip side, I've been playing Animal Crossing and I just looked at the hours played on Animal Crossing. And I think I'm at like 100 hours right now. So, I mean, it just kind of, I go both ways. I reorganize the office and then I just go pull weeds in a video game for a couple hours and try to find furniture or whatever. So it's really, it's okay to do both, to do one, to do none, to do all the things, whatever it takes to make you feel okay, so long as you're not damaging anything going on. So if you're redecorating your office at the expense of relationships, if you are being a blanket burrito and not getting into work or doing schoolwork or hanging out with people, that's when we need to go, okay, I think we need to like have a mini intervention, whether with yourself, with your friends or your family, you know, check in on them and go, hey, is everything okay? I haven't seen you online in a few days. And I just want to make sure you are all right. And that could have been a protective mechanism. Like the news is too much. I'm tired of it. I can't separate the news from my phone because, you know, if I go on Facebook, if I just want to see how my family's doing, I got to get hit with all this stuff, all those memes that are damaging, comments from other people, and everybody's experiencing it in a group format. So sometimes I'm like, no, thank you, Facebook, I'm out. And I don't check it for a day or two, which I know sounds silly, but that's a long time. For most people, we probably check it like anywhere from 5-10 times a day or more. So if you need a break, great, but check in on people. Hey, is everything okay? I haven't seen you online in a little bit or whatever's different. Just, hey, is it okay? Are you okay? What's going on? And they may say, yeah, I'm over Facebook. It's a bunch of angry people posting stuff they don't know what they're talking about. Accurate. And, or on the flip side, I have some lovely people who are doing like beautiful journal entries or, you know, posting their homeschooling stuff. And it's their way of connecting, but it's not my preferred way of connecting, posting stuff that way. So I need to back up. And I know that about myself. For them, they may be overposting, right? Let me tell you all the things I've done. And so it's just acknowledging we're all different. We're seeing that a lot now because we're all in the same boat, which is great because we are all in the same boat. So it's giving us a real strong connectedness. Like I feel comfortable talking to random people in the parking lot. I already talked to my neighbors, I promise, but I've been talking to them more, you know, as we keep running into each other outside, as we're enjoying the outside. And, you know, it's been difficult because they want to hang out with my dogs and my dogs want to hang out with them. And I'm like, really sorry, you know, we could pass stuff, right? I don't want that to happen to you. So no, you can't pet my dogs. And I can't really explain that to my dogs. So sometimes I have to put them back inside and it's a lot. Everybody is going through this together, which is great. But we have to be really kind and understanding with each other too.
I love what you just said. I actually just found through Facebook yesterday, one of my close friends, actually her post said, it's my 13th day and I'm finally feeling better. And I was like, she had coronavirus. I didn't know anything about it. Mm. And I've been thinking about her, but because of the way that I've reacted and because of the way my personality is also, I'm not one to really call in people or check in with people or, you know, do those kind of things. And I felt really guilty. Like I felt really, really guilty yesterday when I found out, you know, from her through Facebook that she had corona. And I was like immediately I felt like, oh my gosh, I could have helped. I could have given her whatever information I have. I could have done all of these things, right? And she reached out to me, I remember about 2 weeks ago, and she said, hey, what are you doing? And it was my shopping day. And I was like, I'm actually in the middle of shopping, but call me. We can talk as I'm, you know, and you can go shopping with me. But she said, no, she said, just let me know when you get home. And that never happened. So I think that's where my guilt came, you know, like a lot of my guilt came from the fact that I never called her back. And I was like, maybe she was reaching out for me. Maybe she was just starting to feel, you know, sick or something. And that's when she was reaching out and I just got so busy that I never reached back to her. So it is important. It is. And I did notice on Facebook that she wasn't as present as she usually was. So I did notice a difference. So I think it's really important. And I love that you said this, you know, that if you see that somebody's changing their patterns, right, that we are accustomed to, that's when we need to check in. Even if you're like me, somebody who never checks in on people, because I'm really, really bad at that. Like I know this about me, and I keep telling myself I need to work a little bit on that. I need to be a little bit better. And I do tell my friends many times, I'm like, you guys, I'm so sorry. Like, this is just, you know, something that I struggle with. Like, I'm not one to check in or send text messages or this and that and the other. But in times like this, you know, I think that if you are somebody who loves other people deeply and are not somebody who checks in, if the moment you notice, though, something is different about that person, like Yuli was saying, just send a quick text, just make a quick phone call, just a little message, just saying, I just want to know if you're okay. I just want to make sure that everything is fine, because I've noticed that you're not posting as much, you know. I think that that's really valid, and maybe that's one way that we can continue that connectivity and show that we care for others, and maybe tone down that isolation that we are all experiencing, because we're all experiencing it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really great like tip and point, just everyday existence. On the flip side, if you are not in the place emotionally to take on other people's stuff, it's okay. You are not responsible for other people unless you have human children, and then you are responsible for them. Sorry. But so for instance, a couple of my friends, I've been like I've been wavering back and forth on if they need a check-in or something. And so, you know, one day I was like, I can't do it. I'm at capacity. I have overdone it today. And so I will check in with them tomorrow. And I have faith in my friends that if they truly need help, that they will reach out to somebody, or somebody else will notice the same patterns, because I'm not personally responsible for everybody's feelings and mental well-being. I can certainly help, but I can't be the responsible person for somebody else's mental health, because I barely have a hold on my own, right? So I cannot just decide that I am the savior, because that's a classic overdoer. Classic overdoer, Chris. So you're not responsible. You are not responsible for everybody else. Although it's a really great way to check in and show that you care if you can, if you're able to. And it's okay to not be. I have definitely been like, no thanks, not today. And then checked in the next day, or I've talked to one of my other friends and been like, hey, have you noticed anything about, you know, so-and-so? And they're like, yeah, I'm going to reach out to them later. So you still have the village around you, but you're not responsible. You're not the only person in their lives. So maybe it's just a quick text to somebody else and say, hey, you know, how's Chris doing? Have you heard anything? And then they can be like, oh yeah, I talked to her the other day. She's just taking a break because the social media is really annoying her. Or, you know, oh, I haven't heard from her. I'll message her now. So you're not personally responsible for everybody, although it is a great way to connect. And I would say now more than ever, I'm very encouraged by all the conversations about mental health and productivity, overdoing, underdoing, because I think that this is going to be a really positive trend for openness and the destigmatization of mental health and mental wellness overall. So I'm very encouraged where we're going. Once we get out of the uncertainty and high stress and anxiety, I am hoping all of this stuff sticks and that we continue to be like, hey guys, I went for a walk today and it was super great. And I found this beautiful flower. One of my professor groups that I'm in, or AACC, actually, just yesterday, I was so delighted by this. They said, what's one fun thing that you did this weekend? And I was like, oh, that's so great. It was just a fellow professor. And everybody posted all these really cute pictures of stuff they had done that weekend, or like little quick one-liner things about something they were excited about. And that's really important that we don't just get caught up in all the chaos, that we go, you know, that was really fun today. And sometimes it takes you deciding that it was fun for it to be fun, which I know seems counterintuitive, but this is something we were taught as kids, that happiness is just something that naturally occurs. And so, yeah, obviously, of course, but a lot of stuff takes work. You have to go, oh, I'm really enjoying this moment right now. And then just take a moment to enjoy it and then move on and continue enjoying it. But we often think that, you know, it's just going to come to us and that we'll just sit there and receive happiness and joy. And sometimes, yes, but most of the time we have to work for it and go, oh, this is fun. I like this. This is a good time. Okay.
Yeah. Gardening has done that for me. And I never thought that it would be a joyful time. But I have been finding joy through gardening lately. Julie, we have about 10 minutes left. And I know that you said you had a couple of questions. I want to make sure that we answer those questions, that we do not, you know, finish our conversation today without getting back to those listeners who reached out to you.
Yeah. Okay. So somebody asked me, how do I control my anxiety? So this is a two-part question. So one, preventative care. So that you try to, if your stress levels are at a 6 out of 10, that you are preventatively trying to lower it. So you're more at like a 2 or a 3 out of 10, or maybe a 0 if you're lucky, but you're trying to lower it down so that when something big or stressful happens, you're not popping off the chart. You're staying within an acceptable range of anxiety that you know how to manage. So that's the first part. The second part in the moment is, and I know this sounds so silly and I've said this a lot, but I promise it works, is to go, I'm feeling anxious right now. That's okay. Anxiety is a normal human response, especially to times of uncertainty or, you know, global pandemics. I think it's acceptable to be a little bit anxious, and I'm not alone. There's a ton of other people out there that are feeling anxious. I find that really empowering personally to go, I am certainly not the only person that is stressing about this today. And so sometimes I may go to Facebook and go, oh, look, there she is. She's stressing. He's stressing. She's stressing. Sometimes I'm like, no, thank you. I can't accept any more stress from other people. I need to just be stressed by myself. I do the wallowing thing, and I've talked about this a couple of times. I go, okay, you can be anxious for, you know, whatever, 10 more minutes, and then you got to get up and go do something else, because it's not productive to be anxious, and you will continue your negative loop of anxiety for as long as you allow it to happen. So I often put a time limit. Sometimes I fail at the time limit, which I think happens to everybody. So I might say, all right, 3 minutes, and then 3 minutes come, and I'm like, no, I need another 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 20 minutes. I like to write it out. I've said that before. So anytime that I'm feeling highly anxious about stuff, I will write it down and go, okay, what am I anxious about? And it might be a whole list of stuff like, you need to send the email to Chris and make sure you follow up on this and check in with this student. And don't forget to call your grandparents. And, you know, so I write everything down that I'm stressing about, and having it on paper is really nice because it's not intangible. A lot of our anxiety is about forgetting stuff or like not doing things. So if you write it down, you've already taken a step and you're not going to forget what you got to do. So sometimes I'll write stuff down and then put it somewhere else. So I've got my little notebook. I'll just set it off to the side and go, okay, now I'm going to do something fun or productive, depending on the situation, so that I'm taking steps to get out of my state of anxiety before I come back to address the things that are making me anxious. And then I often change my scenery, which is a really big part of it. So I have a couple of friends that are texting me, and I've experienced a couple of like sleep issues myself in the last couple of weeks where I've woken up at like 5 and I'm like, what am I doing right now? I don't wake up at 5, but it was because I had a really big day and I was feeling anxious about some things, and it's a really uncertain time. So my body was like, okay, we're done. Stop sleeping. Go. We have other things to do. And so I woke up, I tried to go back to sleep, and I was like, I can't do this. So I got up and I went downstairs and I curled up on the couch and I slept another 2 hours. And so sometimes just changing your scenery is going to be enough to kind of fix some of your anxiety. So if you're feeling really anxious in the couch, then go, you know, somewhere else, go outside, go upstairs, whatever you can do. If you're feeling really anxious in a certain room, I encourage you to go find something else to do, whether it's really soft and squishy, or it's open space, since we often feel closed in when we're anxious, to go somewhere else that is either wider open or squishier or comfier or something, or a different temperature even actually is really helpful. So my upstairs is hot and my downstairs is cold. And so right now, because it's summer, it's the other way around if it's the winter. But I often, like if I'm feeling some kind of way, I'll just walk to a different floor and I feel like instantly better. It's very weird. So that's my tips on managing anxiety. Again, it's a normal human response. You don't need to get rid of it. We all experience anxiety from time to time, and it's totally fine to have anxiety. If it's interrupting your ability to do other things, that's when you need to take those proactive steps to do something else. And you can always call 1-800-273-8255 or text in to 741-741. Those are some crisis lines. And I know it says crisis in the title, but really it can be, I'm really overwhelmed and I don't know what to do. It doesn't have to be, I'm a 11 out of 10 on the emotional pain scale. And, you know, I need somebody to intervene. It can just be like, I need to connect with somebody else. Shepherd Pratt is doing walk-in. If you want to walk in, they're doing walk-in, like urgent center mental health hours. And they're also doing virtual walk-in urgent mental health services as well. And they take most insurances. So that's just, I ran across that the other day and I was like, oh, I got to share that. The other question was about the, how do I connect and not overwhelm myself? So realistically, you need to look at, you know, if you have 4 meetings scheduled back to back on a Saturday night, like you really need to do all those meetings. So you need to evaluate. If you want to, go for it. But I would recommend not doing so many on one day. If at all possible, your poor voice goes if you talk all day too. But I found that not just connecting for nothing is important too, that you're actually getting something out of it. So I did this with my friend a couple of days ago. We Googled those stupid couples icebreakers. that were like, you know, those really like goofy in-depth questions. And we picked like three to ask each other. So it was like, you know, if you could have dinner with anybody dead or alive, who would you pick? And so then we had like a great fun kind of discovering new things about each other. So it was an intentional connection, not just like white noise, panicked extroversion. It wasn't this like, I have to talk to people, so I'm going to talk to you. And then there's like this awkward silence or expectations. We came with an agenda, which is probably against a lot of what people feel they should do with friends, but I highly recommend agendas. I talked to my friend the other day and I said, can you hop on this call with me and look at this proposal I'm putting together for a company? Can you, you know, so having some sort of intentional meeting behind is helpful, I think, into this wasted space or feeling like you have expectations of the other person that they don't know about, which isn't fair because then they're not meeting your needs and they might feel that pressure. So if I got on this call today and I wanted to talk about macaroni and cheese, but Chris didn't know that. And she keeps asking me questions about mental health. And I'm like, I want to talk about mac and cheese. Then I'm mad at Chris and Chris probably can feel that I'm mad at Chris. And that's not fair because I wasn't clear about what I was looking for. So I love it. So one time I ate dinner with my friends via Zoom. Another time I did these like icebreaker questions. It was very silly. Another time somebody helped me with a work thing because I'm used to bouncing stuff off of people and I don't have that right now. And so they hopped on a video call and took 15 minutes to go, this does not make sense. This makes great sense. Add this here, right? And it was really nice to have that kind of support in different areas. And so those were the like kind of lumped together two questions that I got. So I think the message here is that be intentional with your connection. So don't just connect to connect. Make sure you're doing it for a reason. Try to recognize if you're an overdoer or underdoer and find out what is going to work for you. And then I guess the last piece is that it's okay to overdo and underdo right now because we're all experiencing high levels of uncertainty and stress, and this is how we are going to get through it. And so if you want to reorganize your office, go for it. If you want to redo your dining room, go for it. If you want to lay on the couch and do nothing, go for it. If you want to play Animal Crossing for 100 hours, go for it. And so just do what it takes to keep you like alive and healthy. And when you feel up to it, if you want to make change, go for it. But you don't need to feel pressured into doing things before you're ready.
And be kind to yourself wherever you are in that process. Absolutely. Julie, let's just remind everybody, I think that's a great place to finish our conversation today, but let's just remind everybody the numbers again. I know you mentioned Shepherd Pratt as well. If you have information for them, you know, just if somebody needs to talk to somebody, if somebody really needs to connect with somebody, let's remind everybody of those numbers and those resources that you always share.
Yeah. So Shepherd Pratt, if you just Google them, you'll find they're calling it like virtual walk-in hours. So that would be access to a psychiatrist and a therapist. And it, I don't know how instantaneous it is. I don't know if they're going to be overwhelmed or, you know, I don't know what their capabilities are, but I ran across it and I was like, that's great. We have always needed urgent care for mental health that isn't ERs. So this is supposed to be a plug in the middle. So if you don't have a therapist, if you don't have a primary care doctor or a psychiatrist and you need help, or you can't get access to that group and you had them before, you can go to Shepherd Pratt and they'll take you in, which is great. 741-741 is the crisis text line. So you just text in whatever you need to. Hi, hello, I need help. I'm really stressed right now. And they are ramping up their efforts. They're trying to add another 5,000 crisis text line counselors right now. So they're working on it. They're ready and they're able. You may need to be a little patient depending on when you text in, but that's just kind of how it goes. But somebody will be with you soon. And then of course, you can always call the 1-800-273-TALK, which is 8255, which is the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. I know it says suicide prevention in the name, but it's a mental health line and it's an urgent mental health line. So if you need help, you need connection, you can reach out to them and that'll actually connect you to your local crisis center. So in Howard County, it'll connect you to Grassroots, actually. They answer the calls for them.
Julie, thank you so much for all this information. Thank you so much for making us feel okay with ourselves. You know, I think that that's the biggest message that I'm taking, at least with myself today, that recognizing, you know, what I'm doing, right? And that I'm doing them. I think that the key here, at least what I'm taking with me, is to recognize that I'm doing them with a purpose, right? And why I'm doing them. Like, what am I feeling today? Why am I either overdoing today or underdoing today? What am I setting this agenda up for myself? And is it really helping me? You know, is it really helping me cope with the feelings that I have, with the anxiety, with the fear, with the overwhelm, you know, of this pandemic? that we have surrounding us. So just, I think that that's the key thing for all of us to understand right now, that whatever we're doing, however we're reacting to it, it's okay. But we need to try to really check in, as you were saying, with ourselves, acknowledge those feelings. If that's all you can do today, that's okay. But I think that the more we go into ourselves and try to discover those feelings, we'll be able to find, okay, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I need to do in order to deal with that feeling right now. And that will make us feel empowered. And just, even if we continue to do what we're doing, right? As you were saying, if we continue to redecorate our rooms or whatever it is that we're doing, maybe we will now realize and we'll be able to do it with the sense that this is what I need to do right now, because this really actually makes me feel good. Or maybe I'm not good at redecorating and this is actually hurting me instead of, you know, helping me cope with my feelings, which has happened to me many times. I start moving things around the living room and then I look at it and I'm like, this is horrible. Why did I even start doing this? What am I feeling right now? So I love what you said, that and just reminded everybody that it's okay. Whatever you're doing today, it's okay. Just check in with yourself and, you know, be kind to yourself, love yourself, and tell yourself that it's okay. And that whatever you are today, it's totally fine.
Yes.
Thank you, Julie. I really appreciate it. And thanks everybody for listening and watching. Julie, I'm going to ask you to please type the numbers that we just gave everybody on the comments for this conversation today, so that if you have the need to talk to somebody, if you're listening to this conversation and you're like, I really want to have a conversation with somebody about what I'm feeling, you know that there's resources out there. There's people ready to talk with you. And I love that you said that they are trying to bring more people in, that, you know, maybe you are in the mental health field and you lost your job with this pandemic. That might create an opportunity. So, because there are opportunities for jobs out there. So just look into that. Maybe that's another way that we helped you today. So have a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday, Julie. And thanks so much for your time. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.